it over to Mr. Jerry Brown.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. God bless you. And it's great to have everybody here. Today, I think we're going to start a revolution. I'm not sure the scope of that revolution, but I think it's going to happen. And I hope you're ready for it, okay? If you want to let me know that you're kind of ready for it, maybe you got something to say. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. You know, you guys out there in internet land, cyberspace, get to say the same things that we do here. And they mean the same thing. And so that's, I guess, great because we're all connected. And as you say these words, you know who you are. You know what you are. And you can always fall back on that. Words are very powerful. They have a way of doing things. They have a way of doing things in your own personal life. But they might not do everything that you need at any given time. But there is one thing that does. And that would be understanding. As you understand God and His Word, more things happen within you. Well, we know that from Ephesians. Let's turn there. We know that God wants the eyes of our understanding enlightened. And we know that Ephesians is written to the faithful in Christ. Well, we can put those two things together and say that to make a faithful in Christ believer, he or she has to have understanding. And so it is understanding of God's Word, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That is what takes a believer into a new realm. That is what takes a believer into a new life. And it is that new life that we all seek and that makes a huge difference and that answers more questions about the red thread. That answers more questions about the blood of Jesus Christ that flows through every word in the Bible. The bloodline of Jesus Christ is fulfilled in the faithful. And as the faithful stand, as the faithful live with the understanding of God, they leave something behind. And so when I said, you know, words, they do a lot, but they don't do everything. Not in terms of your stand, not in terms of your own personal deliverance. You have to have understanding as well if you truly want to stand. And so in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we find that we were quickened. Well, that means to be made alive. And you hath he quickened. He made you alive as a faithful in Christ. He brought life to you through Christ. And you chose to be faithful. And so he's giving you an understanding so that you can stand. And it is this life that has everything to do with that. Well, there's a dichotomy. There's something on the other end of the spectrum of life. Any guesses? Death. And so life and death struggle for a place in the understanding of the faithful. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now we're learning what we left behind. Oh, it's still there. Don't for a second think that it vanished just because you were made alive. Oh, it's still there. Among whom, and here's what they're still doing, we all had our way of life, conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh. You can never epitomize this as a faithful in Christ. You might think sometimes you're going back to old ways, but you can never epitomize that because you're different now. It's a past thing that still exists in the courses of the world, but you were removed from that spiritually. So you just can't become that again. But you can mess around with it, I guess. You shouldn't. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. Well, your nature's now godly. So you can't be that way anymore. The children of wrath, as so many others, even as others, they're still out there. Everywhere you turn. Most people you talk with, they're all there. It's like that. You can't get away from it. The only way you can get away from it is if you leave the world, and that's not going to happen, not right now. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, love is always the answer. Love always opens the door. God only knows what's going to come through that door for you, because God only knows what you need. But love opens the floodgates of the windows of heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. From that moment on, he has life. Verse 5. And shall we change your life with these words? Even when we were dead in sins, and we were, hath quickened us together with Christ. And he did. For by grace are ye saved. And so, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And be ready to go to Genesis chapter 3. And so, we are now ready to receive, perhaps, the most remarkable truth issuing from the red thread. The very blood of Jesus Christ that courses through every word of God. Perhaps the greatest truth. Ephesians chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to try to catch myself on all my mistakes today. I know I used an incorrect reference and everybody was going, where do we go last time? I'll try to correct myself. I can hear the grunts and groans out there, so I know I might have done something. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. No, yes, I did say it. 14. And so, for as much then as the children, oh, the children, are partakers of flesh and blood, oh, those children, and they're out there. Where did you ever come up with the notion that once you got born again, you left the world? Now, I know you're seated in the heavenlies spiritually, but where'd you come up with the notion that when you got born again, you're not in the world anymore? I caution you on that theory. Be careful. It pervades logic. So the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Like that, Jesus also took part of the same. Now, the Trinitarians will never get this because they don't believe that Jesus is a man. But let me tell you something. He took part of the same. Well, what part did he take part of? Well, it says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, the devil. Jesus' blood came from God. We're going to talk about seed in a minute. So seed your thoughts with that idea, that notion of deliverance, that notion of separation, the same thing that allows you to separate you from the courses of the world. I'll read the next verse and tell you the word of the world. Well, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The next verse, looking for that one word, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's the word. It's that one word that man deals with day in and day out. Bondage. Had it not been for the seed, had it not been for the blood of Jesus, you, my friends, would forever be in bondage. And so some of you say, well, I feel like I'm in bondage now. I feel like I can't come out of it. Hence, beginning this teaching with Ephesians, that if you want to stand, you must have understanding. And that understanding takes you higher into the realm of the faithful, so that you can look back and realize that you left the courses of the world because of the blood that courses through every word in the Word of God. And it is this bondage that to this very day we are in contention with. Would you like to call this bondage something else? Maybe that might make a little more sense? Well, we will, after I read something to you out of Genesis chapter 3. But just keep that in mind. We're going to identify a very specific bondage that you absolutely detest. And you know you do, but maybe you don't have the understanding that you need to beat it, to subdue it, to reign in life as triumphant in Christ, to live the more than abundant life, to walk in all the glory of God. Ephesians chapter, there I go again, but I caught myself. I love Ephesians. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the promise. The promise of the seed, the beginning of the red thread. Without this, there would be no life. There would be nothing but oblivion. Maybe the way you feel sometimes because you don't understand what really happened. But it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed is the answer. It is the seed that stopped the death introduced by the serpent. And this is the beginning of the red thread. This is the station of the blood pump, where the blood starts to flow. There was an objective when the serpent spoke to Eve, and Eve spoke to Adam, and then they did what they did. And we find in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 22, that God orchestrated something for some reason, for some people, that someday he might do something to reverse what happened someplace in the garden to two people who couldn't sum up life, no matter that they stood before the very being of God. And it says in verse 22, and the Lord God said, well, we're all familiar with some of the things that God said already just days before this. And God said, let there be light. And God did something for 6 days to begin something for some reason that some people might know him. And God said, These words energize the blood pump of the red thread to allow, well, a lot of things. Toleration, longevity, glimpses of a dream, of a power that had been refuted, but still needed to exist, but still needed to thrive, but still needed to be exposed. There is a nature with God that man ignores. And this nature is that God has to be exposed. He has to be made known. He's too great to keep hidden. We're the ones. But we can't do it if we don't walk into the deliverance that this blood pump created. If we don't walk away from the courses of the world in our understanding, if we don't stand in the realm of the faithful. But if we do, then we have the privilege of exposing God. Well, God knew that about himself. Because God said, behold, the man, God forbid, is become as one of us. He said that. He said that about Adam and Eve. But he said that about mankind. He said that about his creation. He said that about everything that would issue from the new beginning. When God said, let there be light. I doubt he scrambled, but I'm sure he reestablished himself at this moment. To know good and evil. Now God lets us know good and evil too. Because of the understanding. The enlightenment he makes available to the faithful. Lest he put forth his hand. And take also of the tree of life. Not just Adam. And not just Eve. But all of mankind were at risk to do this one thing. Oh, you think the Garden of Eden was just for Adam and Eve. But if all the animals were named from that very garden, would it not stand to reason then all of what would come from Adam and Eve would also partake of that garden? In some way, in some sense. And that would include the tree of life. And eat and live forever. Perhaps the greatest calamity that could ever have befallen man, an animal, and all life itself. And God said, we can't do that. We just can't do that. We know from Hebrews chapter 5 that, in my opinion, perhaps the greatest issue of the red thread of the blood of Jesus Christ pumping through every word in the Bible is deliverance from bondage. And then I suggested Maybe we could use another word to help identify bondage. And then I brought you into Genesis and showed you that God said something about the tree of life, about mankind eating of it and living forever. And then you see God's desire in 23, Genesis 3:23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he came. So he drove out the man, his man, his prototype, his dream of having a family, and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So God stopped something. He prevented something. And yet, even though he did, man still is in bondage. Why? How does that happen? How does it happen that God drove him out and said, I can't have him eaten of the tree because they would live forever? Why, I ask you, what's wrong with life? Jesus came that we might have life. Why not get it from the tree of life? Life is good, we say. What's wrong with denying man life? He didn't deny man life. He denied man grief. Anytime man dies, others grieve. And so the nature of death is to spawn bondage, but bondage of grief. And this is a concept that I want to introduce, because in Hebrews, where we read, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear and death issue in bondage. But what do you experience when somebody dies? You grieve. You grieve. And it is this grieving that was placed upon mankind. That is a bondage that I don't want anything to do with. You know, God grieves. But God gave a timeline. And he said, okay. I mean, he didn't want to lose Adam and Eve. He didn't want to lose the garden. He didn't want to lose his dream. And so he introduced the seed. And in retrospect, we see it going through 66 books of the Old Testament as blood. But still, there was a problem. Because these people had to have something because they kept being a certain way. And so we see God's toleration of the way people were then. It lasted a year. And he made a way. Well, there's a verse I want to read to you before I say that. Psalms 23. He made a way to allow him to deal with the situation. And it was always in a year time frame. That's why a year is enough time to deal with something. And you can extrapolate that into your own life. But in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We literally live under death's shadow. And what better way to depict death's shadow than by grief? Because grief is what issues from death. Now, I said you're not out of the courses of the world. You still live here. You're still reminded of death and dead beings. It's like you live in a graveyard. And it's everywhere. And so you're reminded of that. Well, God wants us delivered from that. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. And it's probably the hardest thing for a person to deal with. The subject of death, the subject of grief, that we cannot release ourselves from grieving, that we cannot release ourselves from that bondage, but we can. And that's the beauty of understanding. I would like to suggest that one of the primary reasons you find it difficult to walk away from pain, the mental kind of pain, is because of the grieving, is because you either didn't know or you didn't associate it with the very fact that you still live on this earth, that you still live under the shadow of death. God, he says, everybody's got to leave the garden. Nobody can come back in. Nobody can get to that tree of life, which you could see from everywhere. It was enormous. Nobody can eat of it, because if they live forever, they will grieve forever. And I can't have that. We live, but we grieve. And if you understand that you don't have to grieve anymore, then you actually can do something about it. You can stop grieving. The reason you don't stop grieving is because you don't know you are grieving. And in Hebrews chapter 9, we're taught about that year thing that I mentioned. This stuff slips all the time. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7. "But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not with blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." Not without blood, sorry. And so the high priest was allowed to go into this second sanctuary, so to speak, the Holy of Holies, once a year. But God required that. He required that once a year, everything had to be renewed. Now, he required sacrifices throughout the year, and that helped get through the year and helped, I guess, pay for man's sins, pay for man's intolerable aspects. pay for the waiting required for the dream to come alive, pay for the time it would take for the seed to finally be given. A year was a reasonable time. In fact, God set things up on a yearly basis. Once a year, you have winter. Once a year, you have spring. Once a year, you have summer. And once again, once a year, you have fall. Things happen on a yearly basis. And there's many things about years in the Bible. And we know that God finally started his plan when he created that seed in Mary. And then he stopped the year stuff. He stopped the high priest from having to go in once a year because Jesus paid the price. But we're really looking at this red thread. We're looking at the beginning, the promise of the seed, and we're looking at God pushing man away from the tree of life so that he wouldn't grieve forever. We learn that man still has bondage, but it's bondage regarding something about death. And the death thing is the grief. And so the red thread is designed to deliver man from all bondage of death. And we know how difficult it is for believers. We know in Thessalonians, let's turn to, should I get it right? 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, the dead in Christ, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And so there is a sorrow that comes from when somebody else dies. And there is a deliverance for mankind, those who believe in mankind, when Jesus Christ returns. But we're not to be ignorant that even now we don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. And we don't have to wait for that return of Jesus Christ necessarily to find the solution. We can be delivered from grieving today. Now, if you've got things in your life that you're grieving for, death of friends, loss of a job, loss of family members who no longer associate with you, any type of separation that you find difficult to manage, give yourself a year and then move on. Now, this is the hard part. You actually have to choose that you're going to break through. You actually have to choose that you've done enough. If you understand that grief plays an enormous role in bondage and in sorrow that you find difficult to deal with in your own personal life, then you can definitely deal with it. Maybe you've asked yourself, why? Why do I feel sad so much? Why am I upset? And I shouldn't be. Why do days, weeks, months, even years seem impossible to navigate? I would like to suggest the shadow of death. And I would like to suggest that you recognize that it's grief and give yourself a year. You know, when a couple would get married, they were given a year to be alone, to get to know each other. And then after that, they had to hit life. But they had the year. That was the Eastern way. It still is. A honeymoon will last a year. And I don't know, this stuff is really just dawning on me. And I really think there's something to it. There's a whole lot more I could share, and I'm sure I will as time goes on. You know, we live in the land of the living, but it's more than just the fact that we're not dead, because there's so much death around us. You know, you have to get to the place where you recognize it. You have to get to the place where you realize that you're not like they are. You know, when you are so frustrated and so tired of dealing with people and the things of life that just don't seem to work very well, realize that you're dealing with a lot of death and a lot of grieving. I mean, if you grieve and didn't even know you were grieving, imagine what other people go through. They have no clue. They don't understand the red thread. They don't understand that in Exodus, Aaron was the high priest. That was something I was actually prepared to teach today. Now we'll get into it one day. But Aaron and Moses were brothers. And when they finally left Egypt and went into the wilderness, do you know how old Moses was? He was 80. You know how old Aaron was? He was 83. Aaron only lived to about 123 years old. Neither of them got into the promised land because of that little rock incident. But they were old. And one thing about them that really stood out to me, especially Aaron, because he is the red thread in Exodus, the high priest, is that he didn't have to understand a whole lot, and he didn't have to have any special ability. He came from the factory able to speak. Moses didn't. Moses hated speaking to people. In fact, he would sulk. In fact, God even confronted him. I thought that was interesting. Have you ever felt moody and just wanted to withdraw? Well, Moses did a lot. And God took care of it, though. But the attribute that stands out from their interactions and from their actions is that the only requirement on their life, their lives, in order to continue this red thread, was to do what God said. That's it. Moses, hold up your arms and you'll win. If they drop, you lose. If they stay up, you win. Well, he couldn't do it all day. So Hur and Aaron had to prop him up for him. And they won. But all they had to do was what God said. You know, sometimes we look for magic within. You got Holy Spirit. He gave you life. But there's a requirement on you, just like Moses and Aaron, and every other epitome of the red thread. Just do what God says. And if you do what God says, you will experience the life of God in or under the shadow of death. And so you don't have to be afraid anymore. You really don't. And I encourage you to identify what you're afraid of. And I encourage you to allow this understanding of grieving to permeate up through your mind. Because remember, it's under you and it works its way into your stand. Understanding. And give yourself a year. And then do what Aaron and Moses did when that year is up. Change. Change because you know that you've grieved long enough. Change because you know that all of life was made available to you because of what Jesus Christ did. When you're talking to those people that used to conjure bad feelings and bad thoughts and bad moods and bad, like, persona, whatever inside you, you can stop that now because you can look at them and say, well, they're dead. You can do that with relationships. Well, it's dead. I don't need to grieve it anymore. I accept that it's dead and that I'm alive. And because I'm alive, I can live. And because I can live, I no longer have to grieve. So stop grieving. Give yourself that year if that's what you need. It doesn't have to take a year. But stop grieving because you have understanding that you came from the courses of death. You were quickened. And even though you live among it still, you're not dead. You never were gifted, tongue in cheek. You never were gifted a lifetime of grief. You didn't eat of the tree of life. You ate of the seed of Christ. And you have power over that. I think this has a lot to do with John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus and the introduction of the seed. Because in Genesis, we know that the red thread is the seed, the promise of the seed. And we know that in Exodus, it's Aaron the high priest. And maybe what I'll do is I'll teach that at our next fellowship and we can record it, but it won't be an area fellowship, but we'll put it online. And that way people can, I want you to know these red threads because I don't want you to be in bondage anymore. I want you to be free. Do you think that you can stop grieving? If you recognize that you're surrounded by dead things and remembrances of death. Do you think that if you took the time to recognize what experiences and situations you have in your own personal life which represent death, do you think if you take the time and understand what they are, that you can then label them and say, death, death, death. Mm. No more grieving. No more being silly about this. Rather, walk into the triumphant life. Rather, walk into the more than abundant life. Rather, live instead of die. And I suppose I should close with one verse. Let me find it. 2 Kings, chapter 7. Second Kings chapter 7, verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. You ever felt like that? No matter where you go, you just feel like you're dying. Or should I say, grieving? Now, therefore, come. You can talk to yourself like that. Come. Come on, Jerry. Come on, Steffi. You talk to yourself. You have to get to that place if you're going to break through. You have to. And let us fall into the hand and to the host of the Syrians. And that was a battle that had taken place, and so they thought that the Syrians were out there, and the camp was, and that if they went out that way, they would be slaughtered. If they save us alive, we shall live. Maybe they won't kill us. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Death is but for a moment. Cowardness lasts a lifetime. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Well, if you follow that through, you'll see that they lived. And you could ask yourself the same question, why sit here till I die? If I'm in that much sorrow, if I'm in that much grief, why? Come on. Let's take a walk. And you'll find that by walking according to God's word, you will be delivered. Moses and Hur and Aaron did. They had to hold his arms up. He didn't have the strength to do it the entire day. There wasn't anything special in Moses at all, nor Aaron, nor her. But they propped him up because they believed in doing what the Word of God said. And that's all you have to do. Just do the Word and let that red thread live. Okay? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.